We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Friday, September 11th. We are officially at week one. I am Scott Jenstead, joined as always by Andrew Laird on Fridays, talking DFS for the NFL main slate. Really looking forward to breaking down every week with you guys this season. Talking slates is one of the most fun things I do. I love talking it with Andrew. Andrew, how are you today? We had some football. We actually had a game last night.
It's crazy. Like, I text you last night, like, I really can't believe we're watching football. Like, I just, not that I was like convinced it wouldn't happen, but it just seemed like everybody was so convinced that bubbles were the way to go and that's the only way to do it. And they're talking about, you know, college basketball doing bubbles and NBA coming back in January and possibly trying to do like regional bubbles. And the NFL is like, no, we're just going. We're going to pack as many fans in as we're allowed to. And there we were last night watching Chiefs Texans with 13,000 people in the stands. This is wild.
It's so NFL that not only do they start on time, but their first game is actually the one that has fans in it. It's amazing how that worked. I tweeted it last night, but like, I got so used to it. Was so weird in baseball seeing no fans, and last night it was genuinely weird to turn the game and actually see fans at the game, which is such a strange way to look at it. But it was so weird.
And like, the scattered fans is kind of like, that's got to be a worse look than anything else.
Except felt like on like the good seats, they were a lot more clumped together than maybe they should have been. It was very strange how you look in the end zones, everybody's kind of scattered in distance, and then the good seats, everybody was kind of a little closer together.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. I assume they're just like families who.
Yeah, I assume they all know each other.
Anyway, but I don't know. It was great to see, just because it felt a little normal, which is not something that I feel a lot in life these days. So, and now we have a full Sunday to prepare for.
Yeah, so before we get into the exact breaking down players, just want to get some general thoughts on the slate. So we had no preseason games. We have very little, like, actual real practice. I mean, teams had some scrimmages. I don't know if anybody watches Hard Knocks, like the Rams went to the new stadium and had a scrimmage. But you could tell that's not even quite the level of intensity of a preseason game. Andrew, I got to say, this is probably, I've been doing this for, I think, 5 years in the podcast, second year with you. This is the hardest week for me to actually know what's going to happen. And I don't think anybody really does. So I don't think it's like me I don't know what's going to happen. It's really difficult to break. I have like different strategy ideas and guys I like, but I tell you what, to anybody that says they know what they're going to happen in week one, I don't know. I think they might be kind of full of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we obviously like attack slates a little differently. You tend to focus on tournaments and I go with cash games. And like one of the fundamental things of cash games is like avoiding risk as much as possible and play like what you know.
Yeah.
And
I'm just going to say, before you go, I'm going to say good luck with that, but keep going.
Yeah. And just like, we don't really know anything. We have like guesses and assumptions, and some of them are a little more educated guesses than others.
Yep.
But it seems like every situation that you're like, well, this is what we know. And then somebody's like, well, what about like this little wrinkle? And you're like, oh, I didn't think of that. Or like, oh, I guess that is a little riskier than I thought. And there's just like, you go down the list of teams, you go down the list of players, and it just, there are just question marks everywhere. And so what's really odd is that it seems like we should think that every year, like, oh, it's a new season thing. The mm-hmm. NFL has such parity. It changes every year. And like, but week one, I mean, we get the salaries so far ahead and then like injuries happen, clear value plays open, but like with no preseason games and with limited practices, guys, we just haven't gotten as many injuries and not any injuries to guys who are like really important that all of a sudden we get this like free square running back who's 4,200. Yep. We just don't have that this year. And even people who are like, oh, well, this guy who, and there are a few of those guys that we'll mention later that they're like, well, he's obviously the guy. And it's like, no, there is no obvious
yeah.
anywhere. And so it's just Sunday morning. And that even doesn't even include the fact that like we could have COVID tests, positive yep. tests on Sunday. Not that I have any reason to feel we will or won't, but like I have to believe that we won't and that we'll be all right. But even still, like we've had weeks to look at these salaries and to see all the lines for each game, whether they're moving or not. And it just seems like we still really have no idea what to expect.
Yeah. And then yesterday we had this tweet that came out. I forget who it was from, but essentially like, you know, with the limited snaps and reps and preseason games, you know, a lot of coaches are going to go with, you know, running back and receivers kind of, you know, get them out of games, not push them quite as much. And then game one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 25 carries.
Yeah.
So like, it's so funny. Like the first game we're like, okay, well maybe that doesn't make it. Maybe when guys get out there, we're going to get what we're going to get. So I think it'll vary by team. I think it'll vary by, you know, I think new coaches is an interesting wrinkle. I think that, you know, teams that are established, you look at someone like the Falcons that has, you know, the same skill players, same coaching staff. Like I think a team like that is more likely to kind of know what they're doing. And I was actually impressed last night. It wasn't quite as sloppy as I thought it'd be, but I thought the tackling was really bad. So there's that. Like that's probably the thing that like by not getting anywhere near as many full reps or preseason games, you're probably going to have a lack of just guys aren't really tackling and hitting as much as they would normally in practice or in games. I think tackling is going to be pretty ugly in week one.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are going to go into the whole like, well, if the game is sloppy, does that mean that like what you said, the tackling isn't as good or like maybe the yeah. receivers aren't as ready as they are? So like
that's only DeMarcus Robinson.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I guess
way to drop two touchdowns in the first freaking quarter of the game.
But yeah, like we have this in soccer, which for anybody here who doesn't care about soccer, I apologize for bringing this analogy, but towards the end of the season, like at some point, like there are no playoffs in the European leagues. And so you get to a point where like the games basically don't matter.
Yeah.
And then you go in, you're like, well, does that mean that they're just going to score a bunch because nobody cares? Or do they just let up? And so they just kind of pass it around a lot. So there's no scoring. And you kind of have this idea now with like the limited practice. Like, does that help does it help the offenses yeah. because the defenses are not as sharp, or are the defenses ready because the offenses aren't as sharp? So I don't know what the answer is there either.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild week of, you know, I think, you know, some guys are going to go crazy and then some guys we've never heard of are going to score. It's going to be one of those weeks when, NFL Twitter is going to be pretty crazy. And a lot of I told you so's and a lot of that kind of stuff, which is always fun. I love week one on Twitter. But let's jump into the slate. The thing I found most interesting is you look at DraftKings. all four skill positions have someone that is way, way higher priced than anybody else. Like usually you see, you know, here's our top two or three guys. Here's our top four guys. Here's the guy that is 500 more. Quarterback or running back has Christian McCaffrey, who's 2,000 more than any other running back. Lamar Jackson's 1,000 more than any quarterback. Michael Thomas is 1,300 more than any other running back. And George Kittle's 1,200 more than any other tight end. I don't think I've ever seen it where you have a set guy at each position that's way higher than everybody else.
Yeah, that's a great observation. I actually didn't even really think of it that way. Although those are all guys that like you were looking, you'd naturally look at for right. cash games because they're the highest floor guys at the positions. But, I don't know. Do you think, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, but it just seems like because of this lack of like free square that we're used to having in week one, do you think there really won't be anyone who's like significantly chalky?
That's a good question. I always say, you know, sometimes you're going to be split up and then you always get some. I think a full slate football, you know, you usually avoid that. I think that Antonio Gibson in Washington might be the one running back. You mentioned free square. He's 4,000 on DraftKings. I think he's like 4,200 on FanDuel. He might be the one guy that I think might end up on a ton of teams.
Hmm. And there's no risk in that pick at all.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a guy that is A, not even really a running back. He's a hybrid guy. He's going to play. I mean, super talented, super fast. But on a team, you know, as a rookie, first team and a second year quarterback, a team we don't really know a ton about yet. I still think he's going to be someone that you're going to see on a ton of lineups.
Yeah. And
you have to look at week one. You got to like see what people have done in season long. He's moved from like a 13th round pick to a 6th round pick in the last month. So I think someone's on the front of everybody's mind and a popular fun guy that I think is going to end up a lot of squads.
Yeah. And here I'm going to try to pour some cold water on it, but like,
oh, please do. I like that. Cause that's good.
Well, there's two things. One, which I actually don't think is all that valuable, but like, he's not even at the top of the depth chart.
Right.
And so like the football team PR guy doesn't even believe or girl, sorry. Doesn't even believe it.
I can't believe we got to WFT already.
but also like who is jumping at let's call him the starting running back. Who's jumping at the starting running back of the team with the third lowest total of the entire slate?
Yeah.
That's why are we playing that guy?
Like an 8-point underdog. You're playing that guy because he's 4,000 and because he's super sexy is why everybody's playing him.
I mean, I think we're just so used to having somebody like that in week one that we're just like, oh, he's the guy this week. He's the cheap running back who took advantage of an injury or release ahead of him. But it's like, there are like two or three worse situations to be in. And that's it on a 12 game slate.
I agree there. We will get into him when we hit running backs, but that was the one guy that kind of popped out to me that I do think will be popular. But over-unders this week are interesting. We don't have anybody that's over 49 in a game. I looked at all the over-unders last night. Seattle, Atlanta's 49. Tampa, New Orleans, which should be a really fun game, is 48. Cleveland, Baltimore's 48. More of a, you know, Baltimore's going to score a ton of points than anything else. And then on the low end, I hate to bring it up, but we always have the Jets game on the low end here. Mm-hmm. Jets at Buffalo, over-unders 39.5. LA, the Chargers and the Bengals is 42. Eagles and Washington is 42 also. So everybody's very concentrated. You know, usually we see two or three games that are above 50, maybe one or two that are under 40. Only one under 40, none over 50. The game last night was the highest. I think the highest total. It was like 55 or 56. So
is that where it closed? I saw it at 54.5. 53.5, excuse me. No, 54.5.
Yeah, go 54.5 because then you got the under, right?
I know
you like the under, so that that cashed easily for you.
Oh, that's half, right. I told you.
Hey, as long as they cash is all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very concentrated. I think it'll be in a very important week to figure out which of these games, you know, the 45 to 49 ones you think is really going to be a kind of a shootout more than the other games. I think this will be one of those weeks if you can find that 35-30 game that people aren't maybe expecting is going to be it's going to be really key.
For sure. But that doesn't mean that there's only one.
True. Yeah. So I am sure there'll be a couple of games that, it's always week one. You turn a game, you're like, oh my God, this game's 21-17 in the second quarter. Like, what did I miss here? So there's always a couple of those. But any other thoughts on the slate overall before I jump into the bounty of running back? Or you want to go running backs first?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think it's just when we start focusing on like teams and players, and Gibson is such a great example of this, but like, it's always important to like step back and be like, fundamentally, is this the right play? And when you're looking at a running back for the third lowest implied total in the slate, and you're like, I'm locking this guy in, is that a good decision? And if you can answer that question and be like, yes, and you can explain why, like, that's fine. But like, answer the easy questions first. And if the answers are no on the easy questions, then I'm not sure why you're asking the harder questions.
Right. I think that's a good way to put it. And you're good at doing that. You're good at throwing cold water or something. I think that's really valuable. Not in life in general, but in DFS, I think that's really important. So I think people get, I think as you like, as you stick Gibson lineup, you see what 4,000 can do for you. I think it's really easy to get sucked into, oh my God, this is the greatest play ever, and talk yourself into it. I think some cold water on some of those, you know, riskier popular plays is actually a really good thing.
Yeah. I mean, the what I always say, and again, like, I focus mostly on cash games, but like, the goal is always to reduce the player pool and then use those puzzle pieces. Like, it's easier to put together a 10-piece puzzle than a 1,000-piece puzzle. And so if Gibson's part of that puzzle, like, that's fine, but go through the guys that you think are going to be part of that piece or one of those pieces, and then you should really have a reason of why they're there. And if the reason is he's 4,000, like, there are plenty of guys who are 4,000. So, like, you need a little more than that.
So let's jump into running backs. First, a note from our sponsor, Underdog. Say hello to your new favorite place to play fantasy football for real money, Underdog Fantasy. With Underdog, all you need to do is the fun part, draft. Forget about injuries, trades, waivers, and setting lineups. Just set it, forget it, wait for the winnings to come in. This year, they have a $1 million tournament. That's right. Just draft the best team, and you have a shot at $1 million in prizes. Sign up for Underdog today and enter the Best Ball Mania for a chance at $1 million in prizes by going to UnderdogFantasy.com or searching for Underdog Fantasy in your app store. Be sure to enter the code ROTOWIRE after you make your first deposit. So, Andy, we'll hit the top first. I mentioned that McCaffrey is on DraftKings is over 2,000 more than the next running back. You know, some of this is a function of who played on who's not on the main slate. We mentioned Kansas City, Houston. We also missing Dallas and the Rams, the Steelers and the Giants, and the Titans and the Broncos. But McCaffrey 10,000, you know, obviously was insanely good last year. Was like 30% higher than the next closest running back in PPR scoring, coming off a dominant season. They play the Raiders, a game that I think is one of those sneaky games that could be really high scoring, mostly because both defenses are expected to be pretty bad. The Raiders are about average versus running backs last year. I'm not sure that really matters with McCaffrey. Are you going back to the McCaffrey well this week? You played him, I think, like 15 of 17 weeks or something last year in your cash lineup. Is this like the first go-to for you this week?
Certainly when I started looking, it was like, I'll plug him in and like see what happens. And then I think if you're somebody who really wants to play McCaffrey, you're just going to eventually play Gibson also, just because the two of them together equal two solid or salary wise, two running backs. But I don't know. It just seems like it might be a week that you can get away with not playing him. McCaffrey has a new coach. So
that was my next question, is do you worry about the, you know, 97% snap count, 90 whatever percent usage? It's it was insane last year how much he was on the field.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you can assume he's going to play just as much, which is like fine to assume that. But we just don't know. Like, it's one of these things we don't know. And we have zero preseason games to look at, although he probably wouldn't have played that much anyway.
Right.
But I think that there are other viable guys that are cheaper, since everybody's cheaper. And I think that salary will come in helpful elsewhere. So it's like you said, it's Friday at 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast. And as of now, I think you can skip McCaffrey in cash unless some big things open up, particularly just because there are other guys you can play that, you know, they're not going to have 97% of their team's touches or snaps, but you know, they're still up there. And I mean, the Panthers, as weird as it sounds, like, the Panthers are actually home underdogs. It seemed odd to me. The total of this game has actually gone up a little bit. It opened at 46 and it's at 47.5.
Yeah.
But the Raiders are -1, throughout, like, that hasn't changed. So not that really affects McCaffrey a ton, but, I don't know. I think to see the two running backs in this game, like McCaffrey and Josh Jacobs, and Jacobs at 6,800, mm-hmm. like, I think that makes a little more sense from a point per dollar standpoint.
Yeah, so let's jump into the next group. I think they're a little more fun and interesting to talk about. And obviously McCaffrey's awesome. It's just a matter of money there. But like in the range of, they say, 6,800 on DraftKings to 8,000, which is kind of encompasses the second tier of running backs. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. He's my favorite one out of this range. I do like a lot of these guys in this range. But who jumps out to you? Is if you know, if you don't play McCaffrey, you jump down to maybe two guys in this range. Who are you looking at? You mentioned Jacobs. He's someone I really like this week. Who else is jumping out to you?
Well, it's funny because I – initially, like when I had McCaffrey and I was like, oh, wait, I really like Jacobs. So I had McCaffrey and Jacobs and it's like, huh, am I really going to play two running backs from the same game in cash? And then I was like, well, who else do I like? And I'm like, oh, I like Austin Eckler playing against the Bengals at 7,000. I'm like, all right, yep, that's good. And then I'm like, oh, I like Joe Mixon at 6,700. I'm like, oh, that's the same game too. And but I think those four guys like make a ton of sense just from a usage standpoint, especially with Eckler, since he catches so many passes.
Yeah, I have like five or six guys bold in this range, and those are, you nailed four of them right there.
Is Kamara the other one?
Kamara and Cook were the other ones that I had.
Because Kamara really never lets us down.
Oh, God. Yeah, he doesn't. Season long games, DFS. Kamara's the guy that I just timing him is terrible by me. But I want to talk about Eckler real quick. So Melvin Gordon's obviously gone. Eckler had a really good year last year. Eckler has been like a late first round pick in season long leagues. The thing with Eckler is you're probably not going to get goal line carries. You're not going to get a ton. He's not going to be like a bell cow kind of guy. He had less than 10 rushes in 11 of the last 12 games. So it's not, but he's so dynamic. He's so explosive. He catches a ton of balls out of the backfield. He had 108 targets last year. Mm-hmm. Granted, that was Phillip Rivers, but I think that Tyrod Taylor, you know, he kind of profiles as a similar type quarterback. You're not going to, you know, he's probably going to dump down. He's probably going to check down to Eckler a bunch. I think that it's a good fit. You got the same coach, so that works well in terms of scheme. I just always worry in DFS about playing a guy that's going to get eight carries, but I think Eckler's probably the one guy that you can count on for so many targets that it probably does work that way.
I mean, is there that big of a difference between him and Kamara?
No, I mean, they're very similar mold. You know, Kamara probably a few more runs, but yeah, I mean, they use him in a different way too. The Kamara game is interesting because the Tampa Bay was terrible against the pass last year, really, really good against the run. Mm-hmm. I know that teams change, but, you know, you still have the same, you know, whether it be coaches or most of the players are similar. You know, Kamara can catch the ball in the backfield, though, too. He's really valuable that way. I don't think Kamara was ever healthy in the second half last year. That ankle injury, you know, kind of lingered and never really went away. I don't think Kamara is a cash guy this week, but I think he's a very interesting GPP guy in a game that I think is going to be pretty high scoring in New Orleans and Tampa.
Yeah, the weird thing that I always feel about when I play Kamara is
that he sucks every time we play him.
Is more that like I'm playing him for the receptions, and any carry is like a bonus.
Right.
Which seems very odd for a running back.
But like, I mean, I think Eckler's in the same boat, right?
Yeah. But it, like, particularly in DraftKings, with a full point per reception, like the, we want running backs who catch passes because we're always like, well, it's just like more on top. But like, it's flipped with Kamara and I guess Eckler, although I think that was more because of Gordon last year. Like, I'm not sure Justin Jackson's taking. Like, I think Eckler should expect him to get more carries this year just because he's the guy now. But yeah, I think they profile pretty similarly. And not that, like, I should let previous burnings by Alvin Kamara, like, shade my view here. But I feel like if there are other guys who I could play, namely, like, Jacobs, Mixon, Eckler, I'll include McCaffrey, even though it's a way different salary tier, like, I only want to play Kamara when I kind of feel like I have to, and I don't really feel like that this week.
Yeah, Jacobs is 6,800 on DraftKings, 8,200 on FanDuel. I mean, Carolina was horrible against the run last year. They allowed 5.3 carries to running backs, worse in the NFL. They allowed 31.9 DraftKings a week to the running back position, also worse in the NFL. The thing that's interesting with Jacobs is last year he was obviously a rookie, and we came into week one like, you know, is he really the guy? We saw some in preseason, but I mean, this is a guy that had 23 carries in week one last year, so I think that matters a little bit. I think that he's very clearly the guy. They very clearly trust him in a game where, you know, they have a chance to get up. It's a really low spread, but you could see this working out where they're up 7 in the fourth quarter and really bleed Jacobs. It's funny. I looked at a couple sites that do percentages, and I thought Jacobs was going to be the highest percent owned. The site I looked at had him fifth. I think that's not going to happen. I think he's going to be second or third, if not first, but I really like Jacob. He's probably my favorite guy in this group just because I think that the team dynamic, the way it works, I think it works really well. And it is in a spot where we have a lot of unknowns, he feels like me to be one of those guys that I think I'm pretty sure what's going to happen. He's going to be very, very involved.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
One more guy that's random I want to ask you about. Dalvin Cook is home against Green Bay. I don't know what home really means anymore these days with that fans. But, you know, Cook's a guy that always a little bit banged up, but he's a beast when he's healthy. He started the year strong last year, 100 yards rushing in four of his first five games. Last time we saw the Green Bay defense, they gave about 14,000 yards to the 49ers in that championship game. I think Raheem Mostert still running through big holes. I mean, the Niners O-line was really good last year. Mostert's good, but I mean, there's a lot of running backs that would have been really good in that game. I mean, Green Bay just could not stop the run in that game. Granted, it's one game, but you know, it's kind of the last thing we have in our mind for the Green Bay run D. Cook had 13 rushing TDs last year. Minnesota loves to run the ball. They especially love the ball in the red zone. I think they had the lowest percent passing plays in the red zone last year. I think Cook, in the talk I've seen about this slate, I don't think people really love him. He's 1,000 more than Jacobs. He's like 900 more than Eckler, 700 more than Kamara. So I think maybe he's priced up a little bit. People are like, I'm just going to drop down the other guys. I think Cook is a really interesting guy this week that might see a little bit lower percentage ownership than we think.
I love that call. Like, I feel like everyone we talked about, people are looking at, and Cook, like you said, like he's not close enough to McCaffrey where you're like, oh, I'll just get McCaffrey. But it is like,
exactly,
how much is he that much better than Kamara, Jacobs, Mixon, Eckler that I shouldn't just save the money? And I mean, the range of outcomes I theoretically are all within each other. And I mean, 7,900 to Mixon at 6,700 on DraftKings is not nothing, but yeah, I think Cook, like you said, it's like a pretty good spot. Like if those guys weren't on the slate, we'd probably be jumping all over them. And so,
yep.
Yeah, I like that call.
Yeah, and we hear all offseason about Cook might hold out, all that kind of stuff. And that matters for season-long drafts, and that's what people are a lot of focusing on in the offseason. But in DFS, like, who cares? You're playing him for this week. Like, I don't care what he's going to do in 6 weeks or the future, or if he's going to take it easy down the stretch. I mean, I just care about this week. And by all accounts, he's full go this week.
Yeah, good call.
You mentioned Mixon, crazy involved in the second half of the season last year. I think he trailed only Christian McCaffrey for combined yards in the last 8 weeks. He had almost 1,000 yards in the last 8 weeks. They're a small underdog, but it's kind of hard to see the Chargers really killing this game. Like, I know that, you know, Eckler's great and Keenan Allen's great, but, you know, still Tyrod Taylor, still a game that I think we expect to be fairly close. I think that, you know, Joe Burrow, you know, changes the dynamic of the Cincy offense pretty good. But the Chargers were slightly below average against running backs in DraftKings last year. They were kind of in the middle of the pack, but a little bit below average. I think Mixon's going to be pretty popular at 6,700 also.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like there's been a lot of talk about it too. So I feel like when enough people are talking about a guy that just ends up, you know, helping the ownership.
Yeah, we dropped down a little bit. We have Miles Sanders, who is a, you know, kind of a late first round pick in season long. I'm just kind of in this tier, but I just worry about, we have no clue. He's one of those guys that we have no idea about. We don't know how healthy he is. We don't know how the injury is going to be. We don't know how the workload is going to be. The workload was always kind of strange last year too. There were games where he, you know, was really involved. There's games where he wasn't as involved. Miles Sanders is cheap this week at 6,300 on DraftKings, 6,800 on FanDuel. He's someone that scares me enough that I could see him getting eight touches and I wouldn't be shocked, that I'm just not going there this week.
Yeah, I really was interested in getting him because that price is really good for the matchup and how they use him. And then when it was like, well, he's actually a little banged up, and it was like, oh, well, actually, I would much prefer Sanders to be completely ruled out so we could play your East Coast doppelganger, Boston Scott. But
we're the same height too, so it works.
because if you could get that at 4,800 on DraftKings, like I'd be all over that. But yeah, it seems like the possibility that Sanders could start and then be limited because of this injury, it becomes a stay away for me, at least in cash games.
I mean, we're talking Friday morning. You mentioned, you know, morning East Coast time is 10:40. Sanders is limited in practice yesterday with a hamstring, and hamstring is a thing with a running back. You know, it's not like a wrist or something where you can just kind of play through it. I mean, if his hamstring feels sore or he tweaks something, you know, trying to stop and start really quickly, like he's a shifty guy. He's done for the day. Like, you could see, it's one of those games where you could see three carries and kind of, oh, Sanders is in the blue injury tent, and you would not be very surprised.
Yeah, but even if it's like 8 for 32, like that doesn't make you feel any better either. So,
but you are right. If he happens to miss the game, and I still think that's very possible. I think that they may just give him a week. Boston Scott rockets to the top of lineups and kind of changes how you set stuff up, because he's pretty automatic if Sanders doesn't play.
Yeah, and you'd much rather play Scott than Gibson, right?
Like, I don't think that's close. Is that in the same game as an 8-point favorite? I mean, like, all day I'm taking Boston Scott. I mean, and Corey Clement in that backfield is kind of the third guy. He has a quadricep thing he's dealing with too. So I mean, if Sanders doesn't play, it's gonna be a lot of Boston Scott. And, you know, it's not gonna be a 25 carry Boston Scott game, but enough carries and involvement out of the backfield that at the price he becomes pretty easy to slot in for me.
I mean, it's a very high on the range of outcomes in terms of the bell curve.
Yeah,
but like he could get 25 carries.
Yeah, it's possible. Your boy Chris Carson is at Atlanta this week. Your favorite player in the NFL.
Mm.
6,200 on DraftKings. He's priced pretty far down. Is another guy that you know, Seattle loves to run the ball. They love to use Chris Carson when he's healthy. He gets a lot of volume. He's clearly the guy in this backfield. I don't think that, you know, Carlos Hyde or all these other guys in the backfield really scare very much. I think Carson's very involved. I guess it depends on the game flow if they get behind Atlanta, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're slight. Are they slight favorites in that game? I think they're slight favorites in that game. You know, great team scheme with rushing yards. They run the ball a ton. Are you on Chris Carson this week?
No. I mean,
are you on Chris Carson more than you usually are?
I think he is fine. I probably wouldn't play him in cash, but like for GPP, I think he makes sense just because he's a running back for a favorite team. Like it's as simple as that. But I just don't see how you look at him and be like, I'd rather play him than Mixon or Jacobs or Eckler. Like I think he, even though he's a little cheaper, I still put him in that range. I mean, I'd play him over Miles Sanders, knowing Sanders is banged up. And I'd play him over Gurley, who's in that same game, who I think we'll be talking about throughout the season. Just not, I just don't see it this week, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think Carson's fine. That's how I would put it.
Do you put Kenyon Drake in that group at all?
I generally don't play guys against the Niners.
Yeah, I don't either. He was really good against them twice.
Yeah, he was.
It was very strange. Like I remember the Halloween game. You're like, oh, Kenyon Drake's aboard. Like what, he's gonna get killed by the Niners. And every time I looked up, he was running for 14 yards. But
any good Kenyon Drake moment then brings up the Adam Gase conversations, and then I just get angry. So like, I just don't have like good feelings about Kenyon Drake. That has nothing to do with,
I mean, Drake he had 19 touches a game in the second half. He was really very involved. I just think that, in that range, I do like Drake, but I just think against the 49ers, other guys I'm going to go to instead and kind of think that the Niners D is probably going to figure out how to stop him this time.
Would you rather play Mostert?
So Mostert's 5,800. Yeah. I love Raheem Mostert. I think Raheem Mostert is going to have some huge games. I just don't know how the workload is going to get split up, and that's coming from someone who reads everything about the 49ers, and I just think with Jerick McKinnon back and Tevin Coleman still there, Mostert's going to have games where he's huge. I mean, Trent Williams replaced Joe Staley, and I love Joe Staley. That's probably an upgrade. I mean, mm-hmm. It's crazy that they upgraded from, you know, one of their best players in their franchise history, but I think they did. Trent Williams looks really good in practice, and the O-line set. A couple of receivers hurt, so maybe that hurts a little bit. Then stack in the box, but I think with Kittle and Jordan Reed added and some of the other weapons, I think they'll be able to keep the box kind of normal. I think he can boom behind that offensive line, but he's got to hit one. I just don't think he's going to get a ton of work. I mean, he topped 14 carries once last year, so yeah. He's really fun. He's going to have some huge games, but with McKinnon and Coleman healthy to start, it's hard for me to get Mostert in there in DFS where I can, you know, play anybody I want.
I get it.
So let's chip down to some cheaper guys. We talked about Antonio Gibson. He's 4,000. You know, I have in my notes here, we have no clue how they're going to use him. We've kind of already hit that. You know, he's going to get some catches, some runs. Game flow's not a good script there. You know, if he touches it 12 to 14 times, he's probably a really good play at the price. I just don't think we have any clue that's going to happen. You mentioned Boston Scott if Sanders does not play. Is there anybody else down in the cheap range that you're looking at to attack this week?
There's really nobody that I was like overly excited about, to the point where it was like, because usually if there's one, it's like, oh, you'll play him. Or if you have two, it's a possibility. But it seems like all of the ones that we thought might be possibilities aren't. Like Tariq Cohen was kind of talked a little bit about when David Montgomery was banged up, but it sounds like Montgomery is fine. The Colts guys who are still...
Montgomery's fine health-wise, you should say.
Correct. Health-wise, thank you. This is still probably a little more expensive than you were looking for, but like even the Colts backfield is one I don't really want to try to dive into.
I was going to ask you about that because it's a really good game script. They're favored by, you know, 7 or 8 against Jacksonville, but You know, that weird. There was a story yesterday that Marlon Mack is the guy and Jonathan Taylor's there to spell him, which I think is a load of crap. There's no way you spend a second round pick just to spell your, yeah. you know, your good running back, but it's not like it's Saquon Barkley. And we're talking about Marlon Mack, who's solid, but not someone that's going to keep a stud rookie from playing. But it keeps me scared enough that I don't want to play Taylor when I hear that. I don't think I want to play Mack all of a sudden, but one of those guys is going to have a good game. I mean, just going the way it's going to work out. I just have no idea which it is. And anybody tells you they know is, you know, unless they are the coach of the Colts, I just don't think it works.
It's funny you think that one of them does well. Like, was it? I feel like they should just be even. Like, if it,
yeah,
if
I think
the game
one
ends,
we'll score the touchdown, or like, you know, be the guy at the goal line, or happen to be the guy that breaks one. I have no idea which one's going to be because I think they're both going to play a bunch.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And that, they're not 4,000. They're
exactly
5,300. They're expensive enough where, you know, I play Mostert over Jonathan Taylor. Put it that way, and I don't love Mostert, but I play him over Taylor for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And the Jets situation is just as sloppy because why would you ever give Le'Veon Bell 100% of the carries when you can give 40% to Frank Gore?
Hey, do not disparage Frank Gore on this podcast.
Oh, please.
It's a legend.
yeah. The one guy that I do kind of think about, and I will probably play him in a GPP lineup, is Mark Ingram.
Okay.
I know that you were very high on Dobbins.
I am, but I'm high on Dobbins like towards the second half of the
right.
season.
Yes.
I think he's awesome and I love the setup for him, but yeah, Mark Ingram's the guy to start.
Yeah. And so I think that's kind of a sneaky, if it's even that sneaky, I don't know how many people are playing him since we've talked about so many running backs already, but I like the idea of Ingram just because Baltimore is a big favorite. They run the ball a ton and he's very effective. So it seems
no one's going to have him.
I hope not.
I mean, I think that enough people are like me that really like Dobbins as a player that I can't imagine Ingram's very highly owned. And mm-hmm. it's a game that is probably the best game script that we have in terms of a team that loves to run the ball and a big favorite. I mean, that's it's a really good setup. And I'm looking at ownership percentages here and I can't even find Mark Ingram. The site I'm looking at projected him at 2%.
Yeah. Like, are you right? 2%. For a $5,500 running back for a team with the highest implied total, and
the best team in football last year.
Right, and they're raised the spread in that game. Seven and a half?
Yeah, 7.5 or 8, and right. against a defense that we're not scared of, and it's a really good setup. It's a really good – I'm glad you brought him up. He's a really, really good GPP shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Two other names I just want to mention. We haven't talked about New England backfield. James White, 6,000 DraftKings, I thought it was really overpriced. But Sony Michel, I know we hate Sony Michel and he always lets us down, but 4,600 on DraftKings with Damian Harris out for 3 weeks, he's going to get a lot of touches, going to get goal line carries. I don't think he's the worst GPP play, and you know, you hope for like 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's 4,600. The other guy is Chris Thompson in Jacksonville against Indy. Their backfield is an absolute mess, but I think that the game script works really well. I think that he's going to be the guy that gets catches, and they're going to be behind Indy because Jacksonville's really terrible. He's 4,000 on DraftKings. Put it this way, I'd rather play him than Antonio Gibson at the price.
Ooh, love it.
I think he outscores him this week.
I love it.
So. If I'm going a cheap guy in a GPP, I'm going to shift over to Thompson from Gibson is kind of my plan in spots where I need that 4,000 slot.
Yeah. I mean, what is the argument that Gibson is a great play other than the fact that he's 4,000?
That he's super dynamic, super fast, and has a really good chance to break one, and he's so talented they can't keep him off the field.
And he's going to catch passes. Like, that's how he's
going to line up as receiver. He's going to line up as a slot receiver, probably
right.
a bunch.
Because he's not going to run the ball because they're going to be losing theoretically. And
yes, I think that I if I had to guess a number, like an over under, I think like 5.5 carries would be my over under on him.
And what,
that,
12
is that a,
catches?
Is that a crazy number?
Is it 12 catches though?
No, I don't think it's 12. It's 6 or 7 is what you hope for.
Well, 6 and 7 is pretty good though.
It is very good. I mean, that's what you're hoping for. An over-under on catches is 4.5.
4.5, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, I
so
get
that
it.
Right there is, like, an over-under of, like, 11 touches. It, you know, at 4,000, it could work if he breaks one, and he's incredibly dynamic. But I just, I mean, I think you'd be crazy to even think about him in a cash game. And in a GPP, I guess you could play him, but I'd rather have Chris Thompson, and I think he's going to be, I think Gibson's going to be very popular. And if there's someone that's very popular, that I'm fine playing someone popular if I really like him. But if it's something popular that I don't really love the setup, I'm fine. That's like a spot for me. I'm fading that pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously have to consider that when people have the extra salary for Gibson, like you're ultimately putting your lineup, you're moving your lineup in a specific direction. Like you're now able to get players that you wouldn't have gotten if you don't play him because you have this extra salary. So if you're looking at Gibson and Gibson over, let's say, I'll take the cheapest one of that group that we talked about before. Who is that? So it's Mixon at 6,700. So 2,700. So like when you're looking at quarterbacks or your wide receivers, and you're in the 4,000 range for a wide receiver, and you're like, boy, if I just play Gibson instead of Mixon, then instead of this $4,000 receiver, I can spend, 6,700 is near the top, or at least the top 10. So, that's the consideration, but you have to make sure that difference in your receivers accounts for the fact that Mixon is expected to greatly outperform Gibson.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting. I'm gonna be curious when I click on the big DK tournaments. What Gibson's percentage is gonna be, because everybody thinks it's gonna be pretty high, and I wonder if push guns out, people actually throw him in the lineups or not.
Yeah,
I think they will, because I think he's very sexy out of the front of people's mind right now.
Okay.
Let's jump into the pass game, but first a note from our sponsor, Owner's Box. Do you love the strategy of season-long fantasy sports? Live for the quick hit of DFS? Then be the first to try weekly fantasy sports, WFS, from Owner's Box. Owner's Box is kicking off the 2020 NFL season in a big way by giving everyone 25 Owner's Bucks to try the game for free. In addition, Owner's Box will match users' first deposit up to $50. Weekly fantasy sports keeps players engaged through live drafting, social interaction, and a new layer of strategy that puts the power back in your hands. Compete with your opponent over 7 days of fierce competition and get paid out weekly. New public and private contests start every day. The Owner's Box game provides users with a fun and engaging rule set that revolves around a set of game opportunities by roster position. Your players earn your points throughout the week, but only if you have enough games available at the position. Owner's Box allows users to engage socially in multiple different ways with the community. Add friends, create groups, and rank up to elevate the trash talk and competition to the next level. Sign up today to try weekly fantasy sports for free, but that's not it. Each weekly fantasy sports contest you participate in will give you one free entry to get a signed Drew Brees jersey giveaway. In honor of the NFL season, Owner's Box will also be matching your first-time deposit up to $50. Head on over to www.ownersbox.com/rotowire to claim your rewards and join the new wave of fantasy sports. So, Andrew, let's jump into some passing game. We'll start with the quarterbacks. We talked about how there's a kind of a guy at each position. Lamar Jackson is that guy at quarterback. I almost said Lamar Miller. That would have been a terrible thing to say.
That guy just doesn't leave your mind.
It does not leave my mind. I can't do it. there's not a lot to say about Lamar Jackson. The guy was unbelievable last year. He averages 80 rushing yards a game as a starting quarterback from the quarterback position. It's just bonkers. I mean, the floor that he creates just from running the ball for, 8 to 9 points every week is just, you can't understate that. There's obviously a lot of options this week. There's a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of guys that are a lot cheaper than Lamar. Are you thinking about playing Lamar? Are you thinking you go cheaper? Do you have any feeling at the quarterback to start right now?
I think about Lamar the same way I do McCaffrey. Like, yes, I would love to have him every week. It's just a matter of salary. So, I think Jackson is probably going to be in a lot of Gibson lineups because there's going to be salary there. Mm-hmm. Jackson, McCaffrey, Gibson, maybe. That's certainly not the road I would take, but I get it. I actually went from Jackson, and then I was like, well, who else would I like to play? And all of a sudden I found myself like skipping most of the guys. Like I think I skipped the top 10.
Really? Wow.
Not that I don't think that they're bad plays, but I just, I think there's value at quarterback more so than the other positions.
I like this because I didn't love a lot of the cheaper quarterbacks. So it's fun when we have some different thoughts on these. But let's jump into that next tier real quick. I mean, and there's not a lot to talk about Lamar Jackson. He's awesome. If you can fit him in, we agree he's a great play and he will do very well. They are favored in this game, so maybe they don't throw the ball the second half. But, it might be because he has, 400 fantasy points right in the first half. I think the names that jumped out to me in the next tier that I'm most interested in are the quarterbacks in the Seattle-Atlanta game, both Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan. And then I have one more in the afternoon games we'll talk about in a second. But do you have a preference between Wilson and Ryan this week? This is a pretty high over-under game considering the rest of this slate. Do you like either of these guys a lot more than the other?
No.
Do you like either of them? Do you like them as a general pay at the price? Wilson's 7,000 on DraftKings. Matt Ryan's 6,700.
Yeah, I think they're efficiently priced, and so you're going to get what you pay for. Like, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think they're fine. It's the game with the highest total. I assume both of them will do very well. Wilson, you're obviously or usually depending on some rushing yards, and he does have these games where he just doesn't run. And so it, like his running is not nearly as consistent as Jackson's. So I think Ryan actually makes a little more sense just being at home, and they tend to throw more, although with Gurley there, who knows, but I think they're both fine, but I just don't think you're not getting any deal by paying up for them.
Yeah, I think we're there. They're fairly priced. They're guys that I'm considering. It's interesting. I think the Seattle offense is one that no preseason games and no real indication kind of hurts us, because I think that there's a lot of buzz of, you know, how much better they are when they just kind of let Russ be Russ, is the phrase that's used mm-hmm. on Twitter and online and stuff. And if you look at the math, and I don't know if the Seattle coaches do, I don't know if Pete Carroll's that guy. I mean, he loves to run the ball. If you look at the math, it's amazing how much more efficient and dynamic their offense is when they get into those fourth quarters where he has to play and they have to like let him loose. And it's amazing how much better they are, because Russell Wilson's amazing. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, he's on the team that I root against in my rival, but I admit that he's immensely dynamic and really good, and now has two stud receivers. Like, if they open it up a little bit, Wilson could be a fantasy beast. Whereas, you know, he's always really, really good and finishes high, but, you know, could be a guy that, you know, can challenge to be finished second or finish third behind Jackson and Mahomes. But I just have no idea if they're going to do it, or they're going to go back to their ways of running the ball, you know, for the first three quarters, no matter what.
Yeah, you just never, like, but we'll have that every week of the season. Like, we just don't.
We will, but I think it's, like, just blown up this week when we have no feel if they're going to shift their dynamic at all.
Yeah, I feel like the response to Wilson, like, if you have him and he does well, you're like, yeah, I mean, I knew it. And then when he does, and you're like, oh, this can happen sometimes. And it's like, yeah. I don't. For cash games, like, I don't want that. I don't want, like, oh,
that's fair.
This can happen sometimes. And so Ryan, at least, like, you know that they're passing as much as possible just because, well, I guess we assume. We don't know. But I'm just not sure, like, it's a game that I need to be a part of, at least in cash games, just because of some other guys that definitely have more question marks. I will say you're paying here for some perceived safety, at least. So
yeah. I mean, Matt Ryan's been, you know, top six in pass attempts the last 4 years with Dirk Cutter. So, I mean, I think that I know you mentioned Gurley, and, you know, they maybe shift a little more to Ryan's, but I think it's pretty safe to say that Ryan's going to throw the ball a lot this season.
Yep.
And, you know, has good receivers, and, you know, I know the Hooper's gone, but they slid Hayden Hurst into who we'll definitely talk about later. But, you know, Julio and Calvin Ridley has got so many weapons. I don't think Todd Gurley is enough to worry about in terms of them, you know, shifting that way. But I do like Ryan. I like both these guys, but I think your point about them being fairly priced is about right.
Yeah.
Some other guys that people like in this, which I don't like Carson Wentz this week. I just think that they may get up in the game, not need to throw. He's missing Jalen Reagor. He's missing Alshon Jeffrey. His offensive line is really banged up to start the season, too. They have two healthy offensive linemen right now. And the Redskins – or, sorry, I did it. Damn it. I knew I was going to do it. The Washington football team can really rush the quarterback, and they added Chase Young this year. So they're not a good defense, but they're a team that can make the quarterback feel uncomfortable. I don't love Wentz. I like Wentz season long. I don't like Wentz as a spot week one as a DFS play.
Yeah, Wentz is close enough to some of the guys that I am also considering that I just don't see a need to go in there.
The other guy in this range, before we get to your cheap guys you like, I really like Drew Brees this week. At home against Tampa Bay, who I think is vastly overrated, as we talked about last week. Tampa was good against them last year, could not stop the pass, gave up a ton of yards, ton of points, fantasy points during against the pass. I think this game is going to be pretty decently back and forth, you know, assuming that the Tampa offense can do some work. Brees was really good at the end of last year. Last four games last year, he had 5, 4, 3, and 3 touchdowns. He had 15 touchdowns the last 4 weeks of the season last year. I think this is a good spot. I like them adding Emmanuel Sanders a lot. Michael Thomas is obviously great. Kamara out of the backfield. In this range, it's pretty clear to me that Drew Brees is my favorite quarterback if I go with someone in this tier.
We're just going to ignore the Vikings playoff game?
We're going to ignore the Vikings playoff game.
Just checking.
Yes.
Just checking.
Yeah. You don't like how I pick and choose a little bit? I still can't believe they lost that game. That game was so weird. He was so bad.
I mean, I think Brees is in the same situation as Jackson of, like, the every week there's a reason to play him, and it's just a matter of whether you want to take the salary or not. So
yeah, I just think on this slate, it's the game that you could definitely it's the most likely to get really crazy scoring wise. I mean, there are other games that I'd like to get a little crazy, but I think this is the one the most likely to do so. If I can get a quarterback in that game, you know, it's hard. The problem is you play him, you want to play Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas is insanely expensive this week, so that stack becomes tough. I actually was hoping Emmanuel Sanders is going to be a little cheaper. I really like him this week, but I was hoping he's 5,700. I was hoping he's going to be like kind of low 5,000s sliding in, but he wasn't. So let's get into some of your cheaper quarterbacks. So tell me down below, you know, Breeze and Ryan and Wilson, who you like this week.
All right, so it sounds weird because these guys come with plenty of risk, despite me being the guy who wants to mitigate that risk. But just based on the extra 1,000 or 2,000 based from Lamar, the guys I was looking at, the first one was Cam Newton, who I think has like the biggest range of outcomes on the entire slate. Like,
it's a good way to put it.
But fundamentally, when you look at all of the games on the slate, and New England, I think, has a decently high implied total. I mean, they're favored. The Dolphins are expected to be horrific. And Cam Newton wasn't running as much the last time he played, which was obviously 2 years ago, basically. So, like, I think a healthy Cam... Well, healthy Cam's probably not New England, but I just think that possibility at 6,100, like, I'll certainly have GPP lineups with New England, like a full New England stack, and it has to have Cam because he could be the highest scoring player on the slate. Like, I think that's in his.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you know that, you know, two rushing touchdowns is a very possible outcome for Cam. I just hate his weapons.
I get it.
I hate his weapons. I think New England's going to suck. I just, whenever I say that, I'm always wrong for 20 years, but I hate his weapons. I think Julian Edelman's fine, you know, but I think that he's more of a Tom Brady, like, you know, short, accurate kind of thing. And I don't know what Cam has. I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen him play in so long that I just don't know. And there's no way for me to know, but sure, if you get Cam from a few years ago and, you know, he could be really, really good and really dynamic. I don't know if we're going to get that. I don't know if he's the same guy, but not saying he's not. I just don't know that he is.
Why do you think people will not play Cam because of his bad weapons, but they'll play Carson Wentz?
I wouldn't play Carson Wentz this week. So I know
you
wouldn't.
That was
the
problem.
But, to be honest, I think that there's so much, you know, Carson Wentz season long is a top 10 guy. Everybody likes him to bounce back. That I think that kind of gets built into week one. I think that season long really bleeds into DFS week one, where it doesn't the rest of the season. And I think that I'm not playing Carson Wentz 6,300. But I think he'll be higher owned than Cam will.
Oh, I think he definitely will be. Yeah,
and I don't think there's a very good reason for him to be higher owned, especially in a game where he may not have to throw the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. So Cam is the riskiest quarterback I'd consider.
Okay.
The other guy I like is right above him on DraftKings and the salary scale is Matthew Stafford. I think a healthy Stafford with the receiver, so he's the opposite.
Yes.
Like, he has excellent weapons. And
does
so
Galladay have to play for you to play Stafford?
No.
Okay.
It certainly helps, but like, yeah. I was building Lion stacks earlier without Galladay anyway. Like, I think, we've seen some monster games from Stafford and he's like healthy now.
I think people forget how good he was fantasy wise the first half before he got hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was excellent. And, like, their backfield is nothing that I need to be like, oh, they're just going to run the ball all the time. Like,
you can say it, terrible.
So I think Stafford is, like, I would, at this point, I'd be surprised if I didn't end up with Stafford in cash.
Yep.
Just depends how cavalier I get with Cam Newton. But
just to stick on Stafford for once, his last 3 weeks last year, 364 and four touchdowns, 342 and three touchdowns, 406 and three touchdowns. He was like trending to be one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy last year, and then he got hurt. I mean, he had another game. He had 385 and three against the Cardinals week one. I mean, he had two bad games out of the first eight, and the rest were really good.
Yep. And
They go vertical when a lot of teams don't do that anymore. They like to throw. DeAndre Swift's going to be really good, I think, at some point, but we're nowhere near that yet where you have to worry about him, you know, taking a bunch of snaps and, taking all the offense away. And, I really like Stafford this week, too. The Bears' defense is good. I mean, that's the kind of the one deterrent on Stafford, but you have to figure Detroit's going to throw a lot as they always do, and Stafford was really good.
Yeah. That game has like one of the lower totals. I'll say that.
And a lot of that's the Bears. D is good. And Trubisky is obviously terrible.
He is. So I don't know. I think just the way that the Lions play in a game that is supposed to be close, like Stafford should be throwing the ball. So,
I like that call a lot.
Yeah. And, I wanted to make it certain. So there are two others that I wanted to talk about and a third that I'll throw in just because I'm me.
I know the two others' names, but keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'd like you to guess them.
I think the two others are playing each other.
They're not. Oh, they're not.
Oh, okay.
No.
Go ahead.
These are three guys that I have looked at, less so. One of them is because of who he is, but the others are basically just like situations, but for purely GPP, these guys aren't in my cash pool, but who did you think they were?
I thought you were going to say Bridgewater and Derek Carr playing each other.
Ooh, gosh.
So I should like that game to get a little squirrely with points.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
The unknowns that I was going with were Joe Burrow.
Yep. Fun.
Jimmy G.
All right.
And Sam Darnold. Is anybody playing Sam Darnold? Literally zero, right?
No, and I actually like Darnold and the Jets offense more than most. I just don't like them necessarily against the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But no one's playing him this week. There's no doubt.
No.
Does he still have mono or no?
Is he good? No. He'll have COVID next week, but not mono.
That's not a good joke.
Sorry.
Burrow's, obviously last time we saw him play, he was just dominant in college. I mean, like one of the best college quarterbacks we've ever seen last season. Tough first start, though. They are at home, which is good, but they're playing the Chargers, who have a pretty good pass defense. He's 5,800 on DraftKings. He has good weapons, though. I mean, if AJ Green plays, which is you see the note yesterday, AJ Green yesterday his first full practice since Zach Taylor's been the coach, which I thought he started last year, so it's not like he's a new coach. so his first full participant in practice since he took over, which is crazy. But if AJ Green plays, and week one's probably the best chance for AJ Green to play, Tyler Boyd's really good. No preseason is tough for me for a rookie quarterback, if I'm being fully honest. I think I probably want to watch a game or two first, but I think in a GPP lineup, if you want to stack, I like a Burrow Boyd stack and really spend elsewhere. I definitely wouldn't play Burrow in his first game in a cash game, but in a GPP, I think that if you stack it right, I think it could work. And I kind of like maybe coming back with Eckler on the other side and kind of making a little bit of game stack there.
Now we're talking.
In a game where the total's low, nobody's going to be playing a stack in that game, and you can get really different in GPP with some good players if you wanted to.
Yep, totally agree. Could get weird.
Jimmy G had two games against the Cardinals last year, had four touchdowns in each of them.
Yeah.
My only concern here is I worry about the health of the wide receivers. If I'm going to play Jimmy G, I want Deebo Samuel to be healthy, and I don't think he's going to play. I know he's been cleared to kind of come back to the team, but I still think they're going to wait another week on him. Brandon Ayuk practiced partially yesterday, kind of their more explosive guy that's the rookie that's, expected to get some more over-the-top kind of balls. Kittle's healthy. Jordan Reed's there. You got a lot of, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne. I just worry that they run the ball a ton again. It's hard to play Jimmy in a game where they're favored by, a touchdown, because you can see that game script getting to the point where they just run the ball the entire second half. I think Arizona's going to be pretty good this year and better than people think, at least on offense, and a little bit better on defense. I think Isaiah Simmons adds a bunch. There's probably just other guys I'd go over Garoppolo this week with the way the game script could work out.
Yeah, the Jimmy G thought is really like from blind research. Like, you have the quarterback of the team with the second highest implied total on the week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Like, absolutely.
Would that guy be like pass the first test? And the answer is yes. And it's like, all right, he's 5,800. Oh, all right. Yeah, we've moved him on to step three.
You just have to hope that he throws three touchdowns, because he's probably going to get a huge yardage game. I think I want his weapons healthy for before I go there.
Okay, that's fair.
So Bridgewater and Carr in a game that you've got two bad defenses. I think it's interesting. I don't like either guy as like an NFL quarterback, as a fantasy quarterback long term. But in this game, Bridgewater's probably a little more interesting to me just because I think his weapons are a little more interesting. He has a top receiver in DJ Moore. Going against a bad D in a game that could be tight, you can see this game just bad defense kind of impacts it, stuff where you get to, you know, you get to 28-27 or 28-24, you get a lot of points in this game. Carr does well against bad defenses. I know that kind of sounds kind of dumb, but he's one of those guys that really does well against bad and really badly against good defenses. Carolina gave up a ton of running back points last week, so maybe they'll lean on Josh Jacobs, and I think that I like Jacobs enough that I'm not too worried about it. But you know, Carr's got a few. I mean, they added Henry Ruggs. You know, Brian Edwards looks great in camp. I can see either guy's working out. I don't know if I'm really going there, but in a GPP, I think if you wanted to stack this game, I wouldn't argue with you very hard.
Yeah, I think the only reason I didn't look at them at all is just because I was so high on Jacobs and McCaffrey, and it's tough for me to, like,
that's a good point.
If those guys are having great games, then Bridgewater and Carr probably aren't.
Yeah. Although, they, you know, Bridgewater with Moore and coming back with Josh Jacobs gets a little interesting to me.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Is the thought that maybe you hope that the McCaffrey scores are, you know, dump offs and long ones he breaks. Bridgewater ain't going to throw many 60-yard bombs over the top, but if he gets you know, he's gonna need more McCaffrey probably to break a slant or break a little dump off, that kind of thing. But I mean, you're talking about two guys that, you know, that is not out of the question anyways.
Sure.
Lastly, I want to ask you, quarterbacks, any love for your boy Tom Brady this week?
No,
me either. 6,500, there's just other guys in that range I like more. I think Kyler Murray falls into the same stuff there. There's going to be a lot of weeks where I'm going to play Kyler Murray this year.
Yeah.
At the 49ers, it's just probably not the spot that I'm going to spend for it.
I just don't see the need for it. Like, I think there's, like, the Brady situation. I'm just not sure how many times I'm going to want to play him. I guess against Carolina twice.
But, like, yeah,
I don't know.
At the Saints is not the spot I'm going to go because the Saints pressure, I think they were top five in the NFL in pressure last year. I don't think Brady deals with pressure. I don't think there's a spot for him at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we're going to have that most of the season of just, like, he's there and he might be fine, but I think there's just going to be better plays every week.
Yeah, he's got great weapons, though. He certainly picked a good spot to go, but I'm not doing it this week. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into some of these weapons, some of these pass catchers, receivers, and tight ends. But first, a note from our sponsor, Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is a fantasy sports stock market in which you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. Ever heard someone say, "I've had stock in that player since day one"? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. You had stock in Patrick Mahomes' rookie year. You knew this would happen. Now it's a reality. Create a portfolio of all your favorite athletes. Get closer to the game than ever before. To get started, simply visit PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players just like you would real stocks. Each game is like an earnings report. If the player beats his predictions, his stock moves up. It's that easy. You can trade your shares of players at any time as long as the player isn't currently in a game. Get started today by visiting PredictionStrike.com and sign up with the code ROTOWIRE to get an additional $10 off with your first deposit of $20 or more. So, Andrew, at receiver, we've got another spot where, like I mentioned earlier, there's one guy way above everybody else. Michael Thomas is 9,000. So expensive, but obviously last year speaks for itself. 149 catches to set the record, 1,700 yards. Tampa Bay allowed 1 million points to receivers every week. They were 4 points per game worse than the next worst team in allowed DraftKings points to wide receivers. So it's crazy, crazy spread there. Great game flow. He had 7+ targets every game last year. I can go on and on about Michael Thomas. He's just really expensive this week.
Yeah. Just like McCaffrey and Jackson. Yep. He's a great play.
It's crazy how different every position has that guy that's way above. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. The odd thing that I felt about Thomas is, like, are there any wide receivers you love this week?
There are guys that I think are pretty interesting, but there's, like, nobody that – usually on wide receivers, I have a couple guys, like, I'm playing this guy no matter what, and I don't have that this week.
Yeah, and
– and I always have that. If we go down a little ways, there are a couple guys I love. I love DK Metcalf this week. He's probably my favorite love. But in, like, the drop right below Thomas in that range, Devontae Adams is probably my favorite, but nobody that, like, I'm really excited about.
Right. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I think there's more – And I think most people are going to go that way. Like, there are enough guys in the sub 6,000 range that just opens things up where, like, every other situation is just kind of like, Julio is obviously always a consideration, but, you know, he's very expensive and you're just kind of handcuffing yourself a little bit if you pay up here, because as we were just talking about, like, Lamar is there and you're probably not going to get Lamar if you're also playing Julio and Davante Adams, or, you know, you're not going to be able to get, certainly McCaffrey becomes almost impossible, but even some of the higher running backs. So these are the guys that you can consider if you're playing Gibson as a running back. But, like, so this is where you're really having to go in and say, like, would I rather play Gibson and Julio Jones, or Joe Mixon, and I guess Ridley is actually not far enough away, but, like, those are the considerations that you're starting to make.
There are a ton of guys in the mid-range receiver that I think are really interesting, that kind of makes it hard for me to pay super up at wide receiver.
Yeah, like, I think there might be, like, maybe 7 or 8 sub 6,000 wide receivers I was more comfortable with.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's definitely a week where and wide receivers really deep this year too.
It is.
I know you don't play season long, but you get to, like, that third to sixth round in season long, and it's just receiver, receiver, receiver. And they're all guys that are really interesting, really fun. It's a good time for NFL receivers. There's a ton of guys. I mean, an interesting spot every week in DFS. I think that picking the right guy in DFS at receiver will be so important every week, because it's going to be a ton of guys that are very, very sexy, very popular. Picking the right one every week is going to be really important.
Yeah.
Davante Adams, somehow the Packers did not draft another wide receiver. We could break down the Packers draft for an hour or two, but the fact they took a quarterback and a running back in the first three rounds is just insane to me. But it was in a draft where there were so many good receivers. But the Vikings are starting two rookie cornerbacks, it sounds like, which is amazing for Adams. He closed the year with 13 targets or more in his last three games, double-digit targets in 7 of the last 8 games. If we're in this range, Davante Adams is someone that I do like the most of everybody kind of above 7,000.
Totally agree. I think, I mean, Godwin, obviously, if Evans doesn't play, we know it's a Godwin week. But Tom Brady is, I've been waiting to say this a lot. Tom Brady is not Jameis Winston. And so.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever think that was going to come out of your mouth?
I don't know if you can set the right expectations for Godwin even without Evans. And so. Yeah.
Say what you want about Jameis, but, like, he's going to try and force that ball into that tight window and throw deep when it's not there, which is probably, you know, obviously bad from an NFL game perspective, but as a fantasy wide receiver, like, give me as much of that as I can get.
Totally.
Yeah. I want bad ideas thrown to my guy, because good things can still happen from that play.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. It seems like a lot of people think that Adam Thielen is, like, an easy play because he's, like, the only guy there, but
yeah.
I mean,
he's been moving up draft boards the last like 3 weeks. He had 32% target share in the 6 games that Stephon Diggs missed over the last few years. And obviously, last year he was never really healthy in the second half. That hamstring injury kind of affected him. I think it's just a play with no Diggs there. I don't mind it, but I don't think it's, like, super obvious or easy in any way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't see a reason to play him.
Same price. I actually prefer DJ Moore, so I probably won't play that much Thielen, because I like DJ Moore a little bit more in a game that I think is a little more back and forth than the Packers Vikings maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think to go with a former team, like, I think Diggs at 6,400 on DraftKings makes more sense than Thielen. The Jets are starting two cornerbacks that I've never heard of, and I'm a Jets fan.
That's not a good way to start week one.
No, it's amazing.
You want to know the guys' names in week one. Uh-huh. Like, week six, the guys get hurt. You're like, I don't know who that is. But in week one, if you don't know your cornerbacks, it might be bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
And looking at the top, like you mentioned, Julio, you know, you can always play Julio. Seattle was actually weak against wide receiver ones last year. They played the rest of the defense pretty well, but you know, they add Jamal Adams now, so I don't think we fully know how their secondary is going to function. Obviously, when you had a stud like that, things change a little bit. They're batting against tight ends last year, and that probably changed with Adams there.
Yeah,
Julio had 150 yards on them last year, but you know, they're a different defense with Adams. If you play Julio in a Matt Ryan stack in a, you know, kind of a Atlanta Seattle is going to go crazy game, I don't have a problem with that. I just prefer Adams myself.
Yeah, not in the same way. I mean, I also think you could get away with trying to not play Julio in a Falcon stack.
Yeah, you go Ridley and Hayden Hurst pretty easily, right? And be fine too.
Right.
Wide receiver gets really crazy down here. So let's go above 6,000 for first. We talked about Thielen, we talked about Diggs, we talked about DJ Moore, Anybody else above six that you're going to find yourself attacking fairly aggressively?
I like the idea of Tyler Boyd. Sounds like he and Burrow are like our boys now, so that always helps.
I do like Tyler Boyd too.
Yeah, I like Boyd
I
more.
How much he sees Chris Harris kind of following him around the field, which worries me a little bit because Harris is one of the few guys that I do worry about as a cornerback with my receiver.
That's fair. But yeah, I think it's Boyd. Ridley makes sense for the same reasons we were talking about Julio, although I guess Seattle was...
Same price, 6,100 also.
Right. But those, I mean, are you looking at Keenan Allen?
No, I like Keenan Allen as a player, but only 200-yard games last year. I want to see a game with Tyrod first. I mean,
yeah,
there were games with over the last years of Rivers just forced the ball to him, and he loved that in fantasy. So I actually like a guy more than all three of those guys that you haven't mentioned yet at 6,300. I love DJ Chark this week. In a game where they should be trailing Indianapolis, really good game script. I don't think that the Jags have any sort of running game at all. I think Gardner Minshew's a guy that will sling it a little bit. I just think Chark gets a lot of volume. I think he's talented. I think he's healthy now. He got hurt at the end of last year. He's a guy at 6,300 that I like more than Ridley and Boyd and probably even Thielen this week.
I get it.
You don't sound in love with it though.
Anytime I look at any of these guys in the group, like sure he could be the best guy in the group, but I just think this is kind of a dead zone.
Okay, so let's jump under 6,000. We've got some really interesting guys right under six.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham is 5,900. DK Metcalf is 5,800. And Terry McLaurin is 5,600. I think those are the three guys that people are really going to be jumping on in the highest fives. And kind of the point that reason that I thought I was going to like Emmanuel Sanders a lot this week, and it's 5,700. It's hard for me to go Sanders over those three guys. Do you like those three guys? How much? Are you someone you're going to really attack this price range?
Yeah, I think I could have three guys in this range. Like,
yeah, I think I could too.
It's just the salary difference between these guys and the ones we were talking about, the Godwin, Thielen, Adams group. Like, it just seems like they're close enough. So McLaurin's the one that I'm the most hesitant on. That's more a Haskins issue than a McLaurin issue.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody has a problem with Terry himself.
Right.
I think it's a quarterback issue, but they should be trailing. He played really well against Philly. Philly was terrible against wide receivers last year. They did add Darius Slay, so that impacts their secondary a little bit. But, I mean, in terms of game flow, game script, and talent, McLaurin looks pretty darn good at 5,600.
Yeah. So, like, I think he certainly makes sense. Where do you fall with Beckham?
Man, Beckham and I have a long, complicated relationship. He's been very good to me. He's been very bad to me. I just think under 6,000, I mean, you're getting a guy with top five talent, tough against this Baltimore defense. But again, I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball the entire second half. I don't think Beckham was ever fully healthy last year. He seems a little more ready to play and engage this year, which can obviously flip off really quick with Odell Beckham mid-game at any point. But he probably needs to hit a big play. I think that, you know, he's not going to be a, you know, 12 catches for, you know, 105 yards kind of guy. He's probably going to hit a big play. But I mean, you're talking about a GPP upside guy, and you get Beckham under 6,000, and I'm always interested.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's the argument for him. So it's just a matter of whether it actually plays out.
I love DK Metcalf, though. We mentioned not loving receivers. He's the one guy under 6,000. I just think he's mispriced more than anything.
I think that's the perfect way to put it. I think he's underpriced for what he can do. And so I think he should be in that group that I said was a dead zone. He should be in there.
Yeah, I do too. And in a game that is one of the highest totals with a great quarterback, DK Metcalf led the NFL led NFL wide receivers with 18 red zone targets last year. They love him in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. They should.
I mean, that's all receivers. I mean, he's an absolute freak of nature beast and really good. Metcalf's probably the first guy that I slot in this week when I'm building my lineups.
Wow.
Yeah. I just, when I see someone that I think is just mispriced into going into week one, I'm going to go ahead and play that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's certainly
you got indoors. You got a good game script. You got a good over under. You have a good quarterback. You have a talented player. I mean, there's a lot of guys you could pick in this range, but it's hard for me to argue against Metcalf as I think he's going to be the highest percent owned receiver. I just think he's mispriced.
No, I totally agree. The other guy I want to bring up here, I posted an article months ago when FanDuel's prices came out. Doing this like exercise.
Was it only a month ago?
Was it only a month ago?
No, I'm saying, it could have been. It seems like forever ago, but it's crazy that we had prices for that long.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. I don't even know. But could have been 10 long years time. For all I know. But anyway,
it feels
one of the exercises I do is what I basically call blind stacks. So I have like all the depth charts out, which have obviously changed since that article was posted. But
right.
I basically use the depth charts to take like whoever the quarterback, top two wide receivers, and the tight end. And then I do a few different stacks, three wide receivers, throw a running back, whatever it is. And I compare them, just their salaries, to their implied totals. Because it essentially says, like, forget who the players are. So obviously this is not taking into account whether the team runs a ton, and so maybe you actually don't want their wide receivers and their tight ends or whatnot. But it just, so I'm not skewed at all of knowing who the players are. It's like, who fits in this range?
Okay.
And the one that jumped out for specifically week one, and their implied total has actually moved up since I posted that article, is the Colts. So the Colts have the third highest implied total on this slate. And we talked earlier about how, like,
crazy, because we haven't mentioned a Colt yet, which is
right,
wild.
Right. Yeah. And so, well, we talked about Mac and Taylor.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Like, they're going to run the ball, obviously. Yeah. Like, this is how they're going to play. So looking at the cost of the blind stacks, so I was like, what is this team? Because they were the cost of their quarterback, their top two wide receivers, and their tight end, which that's a big stack. So like, you don't necessarily have to go there.
Right.
But so they have the third highest implied total and the 18th highest price of that group. So like, Philip Rivers, T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, and Jack Doyle, who we will definitely talk about in a little bit, are the 18th most expensive stack on the slate. And so obviously
they don't have a guy over 6,000.
They
right?
don't. Yeah. No. And looking at that made me immediately think of week one of last year, because the Millie Maker lineup had Lamar, Hollywood Brown, and Mark Andrews. And like, nobody went into that week like, I need the Ravens passing attack.
And they had locked up the Millie by like this by halftime.
By halftime. Yeah. Right.
Jackson, Andrews, and Brown were so crazy.
And obviously, Philip Rivers is not Lamar Jackson. So
in so many ways,
in a couple ways, I'm not going to throw him totally under the bus. However, and now I'm almost certain that Jackson had zero rushing touchdowns in that game. I'm trying to pull it up quickly because I was pretty sure he threw for five.
You keep talking. I'll pull it up.
And again, Rivers is obviously not going to have the rushing yards that, Lamar had, but
oh my God, he had six rushing yards in that game total.
Oh, all right. Perfect. Perfect.
Wow. Three rushes for 6 yards and no touchdowns.
Right.
Oh my God. That's great recollection right there.
So, and again, there's no guarantee this plays out. And, but I mean, when you're trying to get contrarian, there are obviously a bunch of different ways to go, but one of which is if everybody is going to say, well, the Colts, you know, they've got a great running game. They're going to focus on Mac and Taylor, and that's all they're going to do. Like, they have a new quarterback. They have guys who catch passes, and there's no guarantee that Taylor and Mac are going to be the ones who score. Like,
yep.
If all it takes is one missed tackle and T.Y. Hilton is gone. And so, it just seems like nobody wants to play the Colts this week, but blindly, in terms of the fact that they have this third highest implied total and they're cheap, we should have some Colts.
I tell you what, that whole thing is why you're good at this. That's it's a really good.
I wish I was better at it, but
I know, but that's a really good, and you're getting third highest implied total, like you said, for guys that are not only cheap, but can be low percentage. Like that's really, really hard to find normally.
Right.
Because sometimes we get those guys, the whole offense is cheap, they're going to score a lot of points, and everybody's playing all of them. I haven't heard anybody talk about Phillip Rivers or T.Y. Hilton or Paris Campbell really all week.
Right, and they probably shouldn't be talked about. Like, when you really, like, come down to it, you're like, these guys aren't that great. But, like, this is a high variance game that, and weird things can happen. And when you can play these three, even if you just do Rivers, Hilton, and Doyle, Doyle I have seen some talk of just because, because he's so cheap. But like, if you get those three guys, now you can play McCaffrey and Thomas and, you know, Antonio Gibson. But like, you can pay up for the guys that, like, again, we talk about that, like, maybe chalky, but like, if you combined those chalky players with Philip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton, like, you might be able to separate yourself enough from that standpoint.
There's no doubt in my mind I'm going to be playing a Colt stack on some GPP lineup this week now.
What, like, why not?
I really like it. I'm going to bring DJ Chark back on the other side, get a little spicy in that game. It's I really like that. I really like that call.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I had Hilton written down, but one I had not thought that in depth about. It's a really, really good presentation there. I like it.
Thanks. I'm sure that would shut out now, but whatever. It's what happens.
Yeah, it'll be sideways rain in Florida and right. Something weird will happen, right? Lamar Jackson that game, I mentioned three rushes for six yards. He was 17 for 20 for 324 and five touchdowns.
It's crazy.
It's the craziest game. Mm-hmm. That's just nuts. So, but let's jump to under 5,000 on some receivers. There are a number of guys down here that I think you can play, I think are interesting, I think might actually be really good too. The first one for me is DeSean Jackson. We mentioned before that I don't really like Wentz this week, but it's because he's missing weapons that makes DeSean Jackson really interesting to me. Alshon Jeffrey's out, Jalen Reagor's out. D-Jax has a lot of big week ones. It's probably because it's the only time he's actually healthy in games. So he's like three or four big week ones. Washington, I said it right this time. Washington has no one to guard him. If Wentz can get some time, which I think is the big problem, I think Washington's be able to rush the passer pretty well. He's a little bit of time. He's going to take a couple deep shots at D-Jax. I think at 4,900, he's a really, really prime GPP play.
Yes, I will agree with you there. I think I've seen enough people mention DeSean Jackson that it has started trickling into the cash consideration. And
yeah, I don't think I ever play him in a cash lineup.
I never. And so,
but I do think it's gonna be popular. I think that the situation kind of bears itself out. I think he's gonna be in a lot of lineups, but I do like him.
Yes. I'll put it that way. Just he makes sense from a wide receiver one on a favored team situation, but they're actually a fairly low cost stack. And that actually includes Jeffrey, who's probably more expensive. You throw in somebody else and it gets even cheaper, but I get it.
The other guy right in that range, before I get to the really cheap guys that I do like, I like Anthony Miller this week. 5,000 on DraftKings, 5,400 on FanDuel. He's just someone that like really came on in the second half last year. He had 55 targets the last seven games. He's going to be in the slot. Justin Coleman, who is the Detroit guy that covers the slot, is not very good. Miller faced him last year and had 9 catches for 140 yards in that game. I think the situation works well. I think the Detroit, you mentioned Stafford earlier, I think Detroit's actually going to score some points in that game, and the Bears D is good. If I'm going to take anyone in the Bears offense, it's going to be Anthony Miller, and I think he's a very interesting pivot off. Jackson is going to be popular. I think Miller will be way less popular. I like him just as much.
I get that. I was actually considering mentioning Allen Robinson earlier just because I think he's such an elite player in such a horrible situation. And
just wish he had a quarterback thrown to him besides that wasn't Trubisky.
Right. Miller's the reason Trubisky is the reason I probably don't consider Miller.
Yeah, I just think that Miller's enough of a slot guy that the Trubisky accuracy does not come into play quite as much. Okay, but
that's fair.
I mean, it's certainly a fair argument. I'm not going to argue that Trubisky's good for any player. But, and you mentioned Robinson. He's only 6,500 for a guy that is an elite talent and really, really good. It's not a bad price. It's just, you know, in that range, I'm just taking, you know, I'll take Tyler Lockett instead because he's got Russell Wilson thrown to him instead. You know, yeah. It's hard with Trubisky. So what about really cheap at wide receiver? There's a couple flyers down here that I think are interesting. Is there anybody kind of in the 4,000 to 4,500 range that you are really considering playing at all?
No. And the only time I ever think about these guys is when you bring them up. And so I'm anxious to hear who you have.
So the first one is in Minnesota. You mentioned Thielen earlier without Diggs. I think BC Johnson is a good play this week in a GPP. 4,100 on DraftKings. He should get Kevin King covering him a lot. Kevin King's terrible. Kevin King was one of the worst cornerbacks in the NFL last year. Someone has to emerge out opposite Thielen. You know, they're not going to throw the ball to him 20 times a game. Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph are fine, but not like it's not like a Kittle or, you know, Mark Andrews situation where you worry about the tight end taking a ton of targets. Someone's going to have to emerge here. Justin Jefferson's kind of a slow camp this year. He's not looked great in camp, so I think the time for him is not quite yet. I think BC Johnson in a home game with a pretty, you know, Kirk Cousins is, I guess we call him decent. He's fine. I think he's a very interesting GPP play at 4,100 that I think he's going to get enough action to be worth it, even if he doesn't score a touchdown.
Okay.
You don't sound excited about that one.
I just don't. I'm pretty sure I played BC in a big showdown last year. I kind of remember.
I kind of remember that too.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like we keep mentioning it, but as like a cash game player, like these guys usually aren't remotely close to.
No, I agree there. It's a GPP guy. If you you know need that slot down below, you're playing some more expensive guys. I think that. I think Greg Ward's kind of interesting too for the Eagles with Jeffrey and Rieger out. He's 4,200 on DraftKings. Missed targets last four weeks of last year 9, 9, 5, and 7. So he's very active. I think he's he's converted quarterback and was kind of trying to figure out the receiver position. I think he has some trust with Carson Wentz. I think that Wentz likes him. I think that they'll use him. I think he's going to be. I would certainly take him over like Arcega, Whiteside, or and the other guys there. You know, opposite Jackson. I like the Jackson. Stretch the field, takes the safety's attention away. Greg Ward kind of work underneath. I think that Ward at 4,200 is a playable guy too.
I guess I should mention.
You're not sold there either, Dave.
I'm going to mention Paris.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I just had him here and I lost him. Was he 3,900? Paris Campbell.
Paris Campbell. Yeah,
there sounds 3,900. Right. I mean, they have Pittman who is supposedly fourth on the depth chart, which seems a little silly, but he's 4,400, and I'm not sure you need to go there in the first week, but Campbell works in that Colt stack.
Paris Campbell did nothing last year. I'm kind of surprised how bad he was.
He was hurt. He was hurt.
Yeah, he was, but like even the games he played, he had a 5.53. I thought he'd done a little bit more than he had, and their quarterback situation was bad last year.
Exactly.
Too,
exactly.
With the the Andrew Luck surprise, not playing retirement thing. Threw them into flux pretty quickly, but if you're gonna play a stack there and it's a good matchup, a good game flow, you could get some good stuff from Campbell. I like that. I'd probably go BC Johnson and Ward first if I'm not playing the Colts side of it, just playing looking for one guy. But I see it in San Francisco. It's tough. You know, we're talked about Debo and Ayuk probably not playing. Kendrick Bourne was a little more pricey than I thought he'd be. I think he was like 4,700 on DraftKings. I think that if you wanted to get a little squirrely, I think that Trent Taylor is an interesting play there. Only in DraftKings, you need the PPR with him. Slot guy that Garoppolo does like a lot. He missed the whole year last year for injury. If I were to go someone in that game, Kendrick Bourne's 5,000.
I was going to say he's 5,000 actually.
I do like Bourne. I think the Bourne's their red zone guy when they get down there, and I do like that. But 5,000, at 3,900, I'm going to go with Trent Taylor over Bourne. He's kind of a guy that could fall into like the 7-8 catch out of nowhere kind of guy.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
Yeah, so those are the ones there. Let's talk about tight end real quick before we get out of here. Another spot where someone is way above everybody else. George Kittle's 7,200 on DraftKings. We mentioned just a second ago, no Samuel, no Ayuk makes him even more the main guy than normal. Arizona is the interesting part of this. They were the ones that we talked about every week last year targeting against tight end. They were horrible against tight ends last year. 19.9 DK points per game. Second worst was 15.7, so they were dramatically worse than anybody else. They did added Isaiah Simmons, who kind of will play a hybrid linebacker safety role, and you got to figure his responsibility will be Kittle a bunch of this game if they want to line it up that way. He's a rookie, so maybe not, but I think he's there to kind of fix the middle of the field problems they had last year. Are you playing Kittle?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I my favorite player, and I'd like to do it, but I think he's just so much more expensive than the other tight ends.
Yeah, it's just not. I mean, he would be the fifth most expensive wideout. Or fourth most. Fourth.
Yeah, I mean he's fully priced this week.
Yeah. I just don't I just don't see the need to. It's funny because like I definitely played Ross Dwelly last year in this against the Cardinals.
That's your boy, Ross Dwelly. I didn't get a touchdown in that game, didn't he?
He did. And so it's like, oh, who's playing? I mean, obviously things change over the season, over the off season, but it's like, all right, who is playing the Cardinals?
Yep.
And Dwelly had 2 touchdowns, by the way.
Oh, sorry, shortchanged you one of your great call.
4 catches, 5 targets, 14 yards, but 2 touchdowns.
Hey, take that every time.
Love it. Then it was like, oh, it's Kittle. Oh, he's 7,200, so he's off the table. I just don't think, I mean, we obviously have like excellent tight ends on the slate. Andrews, Waller, Ertz. I guess you could throw Cook and Henry in there if you want. But I just don't see myself saving elsewhere enough to like justify these guys.
Yeah, I agree fully on Kittle. I do like Darren Waller. If I'm going to play a Raiders Panthers stack, and I do like that game, I think Waller is the one of those 5 you mentioned: the Andrews, Ertz, Cook, Henry, Waller. He's my favorite of that group. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find the money to play him, but he is my favorite of that group.
Yeah. I mean, I just paid down so often at tight end that it just tends to be what I can do. And there are definitely guys you can play on the cheaper end.
So let's jump down there. You mentioned Jack Doyle earlier. Who else do you like on the cheaper end of here? Because I have someone that I will probably be playing on most of my lineups down here.
Ooh, I got a few. We mentioned Hayden Hurst before in terms of like Falcon stacks at 4,300. I think he's
spoiler alert that was
the that was it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The other one was a stack I mentioned earlier, but T.J. Hockenson at 4,200 I think is perfectly fine. Doyle, we mentioned at 3,600, and then Chris Herndon for the Jets at 3,300 might be legitimately their only pass catcher this year. And
he's talented.
He's very good.
He's good.
His injury last year was a real killer for them.
It was. I mean, Buffalo's a good D and good against the tight end, but if the Jets get down, they do have to throw it somewhere. I mean, I think that 3,300 for Herndon is very, very playable.
Right. I'm not paying. I wouldn't pay him at. Play him at 4,500, but 33 I think is reasonable. Although to be honest, like the 300 to Doyle is probably close enough where I just play him.
Yeah. So before Austin Hooper got hurt last year, I'm going to just read you his receptions in games. I mean, this is a team that has Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, mind you, 9, 4, 6, 9, 6, 8, 4, 6, 4. Extremely active. That's 8 weeks. That's 2, 4, 6 touchdowns in that stretch too. The Atlanta offense throws the ball a ton. They throw the ball to the tight end a ton. Matt Ryan loves to throw the ball to the tight end. I love Hayden Hurst this week. 4,300 on DraftKings. I think he's a talented guy. It was a high draft pick that got just kind of buried behind Mark Andrews last year. I think they're going to use him. I think he fits the offense really well. I don't think he's going to be 4,300 very many weeks this year. He's a first-round draft pick. I mean, the guy's really talented. Seattle allowed the second most DraftKings point to tight ends last year. I know they added Jamal Adams. I do get that. But I think this week of all weeks, Jamal Adams will be focusing on Ridley and Jones more than Hayden Hurst. My favorite tight end play, and it's probably not even that close.
I think there could be a decent number of 2 tight end lineups. Because
like, it's funny you say that because I like Hurst more than any of the running backs or receivers in the 4,000 range.
Yeah. And, but even like, we were talking about the guy, the $3,500 to $4,200 wideouts. Like, they were just, no offense to them, but it was a bunch of guys.
I mentioned BC Johnson and Taylor. I'd play Chris Herndon over all of them, I think.
Right, right.
Just up.
You can play Herndon. You can play Doyle. You can play, if some people are talking about Ian Thomas. For the Panthers, like
cannot catch, but yeah, I get it. his hands are so bad.
Yeah. But like there are definitely tight ends to play. And obviously you're not like if you're paying $3,500 for a wide receiver, like you're hoping like the best case scenario is like 2 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown, like that they just break one and that's it.
Right.
And you're
secretly kind of hoping for like 6 and 65 from a PPR kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 6 is aggressive too. Like that's
very,
but like, so you're probably not getting that from Jack Doyle or TJ Hockenson, but like you could get 3 catches for 35 yards and 2 touchdowns. And like that works out perfectly fine. And it's like the catches are in for DraftKings and PPR, like the tight ends are probably more likely to get four catches than the fourth wide receiver. And so I don't think it's crazy to, like, if you're really looking to pay down somewhere, to play two tight ends.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point too. I like that. And Doyle is, you know, they last year they had Ebron, who kind of took a lot of the touchdowns, and that's gone now. They signed Trey Burton. He's hurt. It does line up for Doyle to be, you know, kind of back to that the year where he was, you know, the guy in that offense and getting all the dump downs. And you know, newsflash, Phillip Rivers loves dump downs. He loved Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry. He's a guy that likes throwing the ball to the tight end.
Yep.
Yeah. Very nice. I like that. That's an interesting call. Tight end's a very interesting spot this week.
Yeah.
And, I think more reason than as we laid out that I'm not gonna be able to find a way to get close to playing Kittle.
No, I just don't see how you get there.
Any defenses that you especially like this week? I know defense is difficult, random, hard to figure out. You're hoping for that pick six. But obviously, you know, there is a formula on defense. You want a team that's favored. You want a team that can rush the quarterback. You want a team, you know, pressures and sacks lead to turnovers. There is a little bit of formula there, although there's a lot of, you know, there's some obviously some luck involved with returning fumbles, interceptions, you know, what bounces the right way. But is there any defense that that sticks out to you this week as someone you're going to be playing more than most?
The Jets.
The Jets. Such a homer.
2,100 on DraftKings.
And Josh Allen will make Josh some Allen. Mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see why the Bills are the most expensive defense.
Just because people love going against the Jets offense.
But like...
The Bills defense is good.
It is good. But like the Jets defense is not like completely error prone that like they need... That they should be the highest priced defense.
I'm not playing the Bills defense this week, put it that way, at the price. Yeah. The one that I like is a team that we kind of you brought up is Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. At Jacksonville, 3,000. I think that Minshew's a guy that likes to sling it a little bit, and that can be good for his receivers, but also good for the defense. A formula where I think they'll be up in that game. And they're priced down. There's a lot of they're especially priced down at FanDuel. FanDuel, they're 3,700. They're like 1,000 less than Baltimore, New England, and Buffalo, and Philadelphia, who are, you know, kind of the popular, you know, on paper obvious defenses to play this week. They're 3,000 on DraftKings, so they're priced down a little bit there, but closer to the other teams. Like, it's hard to play them. You know, they're only $100 cheaper than Baltimore on DraftKings, which is tough. Where they're $1,100 cheaper on FanDuel, which is pretty easy. Philadelphia, I think too. You know, you mentioned Dwayne Haskins earlier. They're priced up a little bit too, but I do like that that defense in that game. But I think Indy, I think a little bit Baltimore on DraftKings is interesting. I think that Baker Mayfield's a guy that, you know, can make some mistakes. You know, you're kind of hoping on defense here. I don't like New England. A lot of people like New England. I don't like their defense. A couple guys left. A couple guys opted out. I think the defense is super overrated right now.
I think that's fair.
And they're, you know, they're kind of in that range with the other teams where I would definitely go Baltimore or Indy over New England this week.
Well, yes. Yeah. I agree.
Cool. Anything else you want to talk about? I think we kind of hit the entire slate. We kind of kept it at a, you know, a long time, but a pretty good, we're always going to be a little bit long, but, you know, week one, there was lots to talk about at the top before we even got to players. Anything else on your mind before we jump out of here for week one?
No, just my advice of don't make dumb mistakes.
Don't make dumb mistakes. Now, if you can just attribute that to all aspects of my life, you just like sit in my office and say that like six times a day, would be great.
Yeah. No, it just like it goes back to what I was saying before, that like you ask the simple questions first. And if like in terms of like the do I want to play this guy? And if the simple answer is no, don't keep working to like find a question where the answer is yes. Like then just throw them out of the pool.
And on that same note, something that I find myself doing on occasion, don't like get to that last slot and it's 5,700 and just play someone because they fit perfectly in that spot. Build your team as a whole, not for like fitting the exact spot. And I do that sometimes. I'm like, oh, I need someone that's 5,700 below. And I start looking at names and it's always a terrible way to build.
Yes, I totally agree.
So thanks everyone for listening to the Royal Wire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS version. We greatly appreciate it. We're super excited to be talking about football. I'm really glad that it's here. It's been a weird few months leading up to this, obviously across the country, but really fun to be talking about football. You know, feel a little bit normal doing that. So we hope you enjoy. We look forward to hopefully talking about 17 weeks of DFS with you, and hope everybody has a good week. Good luck week one, and go Niners. Take care.